A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Hear me, O islands. Listen, O distant peoples. The Lord called me from birth. From my mother's womb, he gave me my name. He made of me a sharp-edged sword and concealed me in the shadow of his arm. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me. You are my servant, he said to me, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Though I thought I had toiled in vain and for nothing, uselessly spent my strength, yet my reward is with the Lord. My recompense is with my God. For now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him and Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, he says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord. I will sing of your salvation. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me and deliver me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. For you are my rock and my refuge. In my God, rescue me from the hand of the wicked. For you are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from birth, from my mother's womb, you are my strength. My mouth shall declare your justice, day by day your salvation. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and till the present I proclaim your wondrous deeds.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et tu spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, at a loss as to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said to him, Master, who is it? Jesus answered, It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it. So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. So Jesus said to him, What you are going to do, do quickly. Now none of those reclining at table realized why he said this to him. Some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, "Buy what we need for the feast, or to give something to the poor." So Judas took the morsel and left at once, and it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say it to you." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me three times."
Verbum Domini.
During Holy Week, the readings at Mass beautifully juxtapose the prophecies of the suffering servant in the book of Isaiah with events in the gospel accounts leading up to the passion and death of Jesus. On Good Friday, we will recall the details of our Lord's suffering and crucifixion as he accomplishes on the cross the work of the redemption of humanity. And although Jesus undergoes his most intense suffering on Good Friday, his suffering begins well before his actual crucifixion. His sharing in the Passover meal with his disciples is a bittersweet moment for him. On the one hand, he has greatly desired to share this Passover with them before he suffers. On the other hand, he is already grieving over the choices that his closest disciples are about to make. In today's gospel reading, the betrayal of Judas and the denial of Peter are both foretold. And while there are similarities between both the actions of Judas and Peter, their final outcomes could not be more dissimilar. As Jesus and his disciples are reclining at table, he reveals the shocking news that one of those dining among them will be the one who betrays the Lord. In the Gospel of John, Jesus had only alluded to his death, but had not explicitly stated how his death would come about at the hands of his enemies, or who would hand him over to his enemies. And since the disciples were very close to one another, they had traveled through the towns of Galilee and Judea, and had seen many wonderful signs together, it would have been inconceivable for one of them to be a traitor. The disciples were indeed shocked and surprised to hear about this. And Jesus himself was deeply troubled as he reveals this to him. Even though it might be necessary for Jesus to be handed over to be crucified for the sake of our salvation, the thought of one of his own closest friends turning on him, the one who receives the morsel from Jesus' own hand, is already a great cause of pain and sorrow. Jesus loves Judas just as much as he does his other disciples. He does not want to see Judas lost, but that he be saved from his sin. And even after handing Jesus over to the authorities to be crucified, Judas was not beyond forgiveness. He could have gone to the Lord and asked for mercy, and it would have been granted to him. But sadly, our Lord knows what will happen with Judas, how his remorse over what he has done will eventually lead to Judas ending his own life. He chooses to give in to despair rather than avail himself of Jesus' mercy and be forgiven. And then after Judas leaves, the ever-impetuous Simon Peter says without thinking that he will lay down his life for Jesus. And Peter probably means well, but Jesus knows a person's heart. He tells Peter, on the contrary, that he will deny Jesus three times that very evening. And this is once again another cause of suffering for our Lord. The thought that the one who is the first to confess Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and is entrusted with the keys of the kingdom of heaven, will also be the one who denies him three times. Jesus' foreknowledge of these acts of denial and betrayal from his disciples does not lessen the pain and the anguish of these offenses. After all, it is often the case that the ones who are closest to us are the ones who hurt us the most. And both Judas and Peter have done something that is gravely offensive to our Lord in betraying him and denying him before others. Yet the mercy of Jesus knows no bounds. Both Judas and Peter can take the opportunity to turn back to the Lord and seek his forgiveness. Unfortunately, only Peter returns to the Lord, whereas Judas is overtaken by remorse. Judas and Peter thus represent the two ways that are placed before each one of us as sinners. While it is indeed true that our sins are an offense against the Lord, this does not mean that we are beyond his power to forgive. Some of us may have committed graver sins than others. We can either imitate Judas and choose to give in to despair and hopelessness, or we can choose to act like Peter and to make a renewed act of faith and hope in the Lord and in his great mercy. One way leads to death, and the other way leads to salvation and eternal life. So considering this, it seems like quite a bargain to make that act of trust in the Lord and to believe in the depths of his love for us. And the Catechism beautifully teaches how the very hour that sin manifests its full depravity paradoxically becomes the source of our forgiveness, that is, the sacrifice of Christ himself. And in paragraph 1851, the Catechism says, "It is precisely in the Passion, when the mercy of Christ is about to vanquish it, that sin most clearly manifests its violence in its many forms. Unbelief, murderous hatred, shunning and mockery by the leaders and the people, Pilate's cowardice and the cruelty of the soldiers, Judas's betrayal, so bitter to Jesus, Peter's denial, and the disciples' flight. However, at the very hour of darkness, the hour of the prince of this world, the sacrifice of Christ secretly becomes the source from which the forgiveness of our sins will pour forth inexhaustibly." As St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, "Where sin abounds, grace abounded all the more." And perhaps there are some who are present here at the network or joining us by radio, television, or internet who are still holding on to a sin or sins that they have committed, thinking that it is still beyond God's mercy and forgiveness. Maybe there are some listening who know someone who is struggling to forgive themselves or accept the fact that God wishes to forgive them and to restore them to grace. Hopefully, we can all take comfort in knowing that there is no sin, however great or small, that is beyond our Lord's ability or his willingness to forgive. He has not only forgiven Peter, who denied knowing him, and was even willing to forgive Judas, the one who betrayed him, but he also forgave the very ones who crucified him. There is no sin that is beyond our Lord's forgiveness. And he invites all of us today to bring to him our sins and to express our profound sorrow for them. While it is true that our sins have offended him, he does not wish to hold them against us. You know, our Lord's not vindictive. And thus, the source of our separation from God, our sin, has been transformed by his redemptive death into the means of our salvation. Our Lord wills that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He then invites us to become heralds of his mercy throughout the world by proclaiming his love and mercy through our own actions, our words, and our intentions. It is through the power of Christ's merciful love that the wounds caused by sin can be healed, and relationships between God and neighbor can be restored. And so may we forgive others and forgive ourselves, and allow the Lord's healing grace to work powerfully through us for the sake of the salvation of the world.